And it's just really a very, very practical issue. What about the impact of adjuvant therapy? Now, today, again, we know from our patterns of care studies, as opposed to, you know, pre-2003, 2004, that as opposed to using a fluoropyrimidine by itself, and we can talk about which one, nowadays, that pretty much the standard has been to add in oxaliplatin. What does that do in terms of efficacy, in terms of reducing relapse rate, and how much morbidity or side effects does it add to the patient?
I mean, again, it's a balancing act, as I said, between toxicity and efficacy. I think everyone agrees adding oxaliplatin to fluoropyrimidine, by the trial data that we have right now, it's 5-FU. It increases efficacy within, let's say, an unselect group of stage 3 patients in the range of about reduction of disease-free survival risk by about 8% at 3 years. And actually, in stage 3 patients, at least, this does translate into overall survival benefit, which is statistically significant for the subgroup at 6 years. The question now is, what about stage 2? And I do think we need to address this in a very critical way, because the recent data we saw from the ASCO presentation on Mosaic, which compared FOLFOX versus, so an oxaliplatin-based regimen plus 5-FU versus 5-FU alone, showed that for stage 2 patients, unselected stage 2 patients, there is no difference in overall survival outcome, and there was a difference in terms of a reduction of recurrence rate of about 3.84%. So the impact is not as large as we see in stage 3, which has a higher risk of recurrence.
But of course, we see that in breast cancer and lung cancer.
The higher risk of recurrence, the more benefit you have from active adjuvant treatment. The interesting group that I saw in this analysis, however, was, again, this clinically high-risk stage 2 group of patients, where we see the same reduction in risk of recurrence as in stage 3. Hazard ratio was 0.74, which was actually, so meaning a 26% reduction in the risk of recurrence for high-risk stage 2 patients compared to a stage 3 patient, which is about the same ballpark. So the impact that we have when we see stage 2 patients is still, we might have to classify, subclassify patients in high and low risk stage 2, and the verdict is still out there. What are the best factors to decide what's high risk and low risk?